It's a privilege to be here tonight to report on the goodness of God in relation to our work in Malaysia. Before I give any report, let us turn to the Word of God, if you will, to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse number 5 and verse number 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, Ecclesiastes, please, and chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and for the sake of time, verse number 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah, please. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. And it's the last verse, if I remember correctly. The last verse, verse number 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that shall send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Now, be interesting and be very profitable, knowing the Lord will bless his word, to say something on these portions, but I just want to briefly give you the title, and that will suffice. You look back at Psalm 126, beloved, and verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I think that tells us how to sow. Now, what do you mean, says someone, or what does the scripture mean when it says they that sow in tears? Well, it doesn't mean that they're weeping. It doesn't mean that they're crying. What it really means is this. At the time when the land has to be prepared for the sowing, it usually is a very cold time. And because of that, the farmer goes out and faces the chilling wind. And as he ploughs and prepares for the sowing, often the tears come down his face. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, because by the time the harvest comes, the weather has changed and everything is warmer, and he reaps with joy. You will know that in the book of Proverbs, there are verses that tell us the people, there are those that will not they will not sow because of the weeping. And I would feel, beloved, that in the work of the gospel, even though it makes so many demands on our time, on our interests, on our activities, it is likely the gospel has suffered. Probably we would feel that if it was more suitable and more accommodating, we would be more interested. But I feel the need of the gospel is so consistent and so demanding, we need to be constant in our sowing of the precious seed. That's the next verse, isn't it? So it's not now how to sow, but it's what to sow. Verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." You'll understand, beloved, there's nothing in this world of whatever form or whatever type could compare with the precious seed of the gospel. So younger friends in Christ, get these lovely words, when to sow and what to sow, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves, his sheaves with him. When you come to Isaiah, I think it's wonderful to see not so much what or when, but look at the last verse. It is where to sow. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Now, when I think of the gospel, I'm not thinking just of the testimony in a gospel hall. We thank God for gospel meetings. But what about the office? What about the place, the factory where you work? What about the street in which you live? What about the neighbors round the doors? My dear brethren, that's a great issue, isn't it? Blessed ye that sow beside all waters. I remember I was only a little fellow, it was 1935, and my mother observed across the street a family had come into the house for the first time. And thinking of the woman being busy, adjusting herself to a new house, for as far as she was concerned, my mother made her a cake. And she went over to her and said, "Lady, glad to welcome you to this street. I see you're in for the first time. I guess you said you've been very busy." She said, "I have." "Well, here is something for your dinner tonight for your husband and you." Now, my mother didn't know whether she had a family or not, but that's not the point. And the woman appreciated it very much. That was 1935, in the early part of that year, when Mr. David Walker, the great preacher from Aberdeen, came to our assembly then, as it was Ebenezer, and herald forth the word of life. So my mother went across to this woman and said, "Lady, I'd like you to come to a gospel meeting on the Old Park Road." Now, we just lived about 3 or 4 minutes from it. "Oh," she said, "Lady, I go to my own church." But she looked at her again and recognized it was the woman that had given her the cake. And she changed her attitude in her mind and says, "Right, I will go." Now, as a result of that woman coming to the gospel, to hear the gospel, as it were, for the first time, she trusted the Lord Jesus in those meetings. So did her husband, and so did one of her daughters. So you see, so beside all waters, the neighbor across the street, there's my mother with that cake. I never forget it. And those dear people were in fellowship until they were called home. And then when we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, please, just rather quickly, you'll notice these lovely words, and I feel they'll be worth developing, but time will hinder me. "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." That is when to sow. Could I give an illustration? Way back in my years in shorts in the aircraft factory in Belfast, coming near the time when I was about to move from the factory into the drawing office, a young man was working not far from where I provided tools for them. I was a tool maker. And he said, could you get me some foreign stamps? I said, why do you ask me about that? Well, he said, I know you're a Christian. Oh, that's very good. And he said, Christians usually have friends abroad. Well, I said, yes, I'll bring in a stamp or two tomorrow. Now, that was 1949. In 1947, 48, four of my friends went to China, and I was expecting to go with them, but the door wasn't opened. And Jeff Scott, that was in China at the time, sent me a letter. It's a time when the communists were taking over, so the stamps that were put on this envelope were overstamped by the communists, which made them quite attractive and quite valuable. So I brought this envelope into my friend the next morning, and at 10 to 10 when we had our coffee, I went over to him and I said, there's a good stamp. But I turned the envelope round the other way because Jeff had stamped "For God so loved the world." See? Oh, he said, that's not the kind of stamp I was talking about. I said, no, but that's the best stamp in the world. And I had 10 minutes to preach the gospel to two men I never saw before. 10 minutes gospel from John 3:16. Then I turned it around and gave them the envelope. Is that all? No. I preached really to the man that asked for the stamp. At 25 to 1 that day, the other man came over to me. He said, what hall do you go to? I said, mister, look, I've been in this factory for dinners of many years. Nobody ever asked me that in their life. What do you mean? He said, I'll ask you what church you go to. Why did you ask me what hall do you go to? He said, because the gospel you preach there is the gospel I hear every Sunday. And I wasn't even preaching to this man. I was preaching to the other man. Well, I said, where do you go? Oh, he said, I attend Joseph Street. I was off the Shankill Road every Sunday night. My mother's in fellowship, my sister's in fellowship in Matches Street, and my wife's in fellowship in Joseph Street. Oh, I said, I'm preaching Joseph. He said, I know that, but I don't know your name. And cut a long story short, I saw that man saved. I wasn't preaching to him. You see, I was following this. This verse speaks to me. In the morning, sow thy seed, and the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall bring forth either this or that. And you know, in 1967, Brother Willie, took me to the Royal Hospital. And there on that bed was a man that asked me for the stamp, coming near the end of life, and had never trusted the Lord Jesus. So there's a difference. The Lord bless his work. Now, our work in Malaysia, thank God, has been very demanding, of course, but we're thankful for his goodness to us in the blessings that we have received over the years. Most will know that in January this year, I celebrated 50 years in the work in Malaysia, because my late wife and I and the family arrived in January 57, and we've been there in that period. So God has been good in that the work of God has been blessed of himself. Our work is simply in the work of the gospel, in the word of the ministry, as you know, and we're so thankful to God for the blessing that we have received. In Paramount, we have at least 150 in fellowship, and we're thankful for the blessing God has given us. We're constant in the gospel. Now, because of the heat's intense in Malaysia. It's 90 degrees Fahrenheit in my house every day with all the doors and windows open. And you'll understand that we just cannot have the length of gospel meetings in terms of time that others may have. So we would have usually 2 weeks at a time. And we're thankful for younger men, younger brethren coming through and coming on, especially our brother Gideon Kuhl that's in Klang Assembly in Kota Kamuning. And in recent times, he and I will preach the gospel in many times in the assemblies with which we have association in our form and work. Now, that's very important. And we're thankful for God in blessing the preaching of the gospel in that way. And I could give you illustrations, which I will if I have time. And then, of course, we have ministry, the conference every year. And we've been helpful, we've been very much helped, rather, by the coming of brethren that give us of their time. And our brother that has just spoken has been with us twice in our conferences, and he expects to come next year in his will, in the will of God. So if I say all are invited, well, there would be no room, of course, for you all. But if anyone is interested or exercised to come to visit us at conference time, you'll be very welcome indeed. Our conference is usually the last Monday in May, and it continues until the Saturday of that week. And we go to a cooler climb. We go to the Cameron Highlands into a hotel there that accommodates us very, very comfortably for the week of ministry. So all are welcome, and if you want to come, you'll be very, very welcome indeed. Now, that's one thing. We're thankful to God to tell you that in August this year, on the 12th of August, we saw yet another assembly formed in what is termed USJ4. In Malaysia, we usually abbreviate the terms. That's Upper Subang Jaya, and we are thankful to God for this tremendous encouragement with the new meeting in our work in USJ4. Well, the work has been there for about 9 years. Sunday school, a gospel meeting once a month, and so on. But now, of course, a full assembly has been established, and Lord's Day on the 12th, there were 35 formed the new meeting, and since then there have been 9 or 10 added, and others anxious to be received. Now that's been a real encouragement, brethren, because it's great to see a new testimony established in any area. And over the years, the work in USJ4 has been encouraging, especially in the work of the Sunday school. At this moment, there would be 130 children attending every Lord's Day morning for the Sunday school in that place. We're not allowed to build a hall because we do not have recognition by the government. So we have to buy a shop or something of that nature and turn it into an accommodating hall. So that's what's happening, and it's happened in USJ4 and in Paramount and in other places. So do remember this new assembly, in which there has been a real token of blessing in many ways. Now, one of the great evidences of God's goodness has been a number of brethren that we saw saved and taught many years ago, unfortunately, got away into the world, backslided, and so on. But the restoring hand of God in their lives has been most remarkable. I'm going to give you an account of some. In the year 2004, toward the end of the year, Brother Kim Soo came into the meeting. And I said, "What are you doing here?" Well, he said, "Tom, this is the place I left, and this is the place God has brought me back again." Well, I said, "We're glad to see you." And there he was. Well, I left in September, but I had to be back at the end of December, back into Malaysia again. And it was during the last Lord's Day of December 2004. Kim Soo came up again, put his arms around me, this time tears rolling down his cheeks. He said, "What's this wrong, boy?" "Oh, nothing wrong." And there was his wife, Arin. He says, "Arin got saved sitting on that seat 2 weeks ago." Not wonderful. And he told me, he says, "See, Tom, when I got married many years ago, I never even told her I was a Christian." So there's what God can do. And you know, if you saw Arin tonight, you'd really think she was a believer for 40 years. She has all the features of conformity in every way. And we're thankful to God for what God has done. Well, now that was the last Lord's Day in December. On the 4th of January, because on the 1st we had a wedding, and Brother Howard Barnes, who's a very responsible brother, was out for the wedding, and he and I took the gospel on the 4th of January in Paramount. Sitting in the very front seat was the family I've mentioned, Kim Soo and his wife and his daughter and his son. At that meeting, Deborah, 28 years of age, a BSc and dear knows what, a very clever girl, trusted the Lord Jesus in the gospel meeting. So there we have a further addition to the family in Christ. In September of that year, 2005, I'm having gospel meetings in Panama. And again, the family's there, and their son, Daniel, had a friend. He was sitting at the wall, and Daniel and the father and the mother and the daughter. After the gospel meeting, Daniel said to this young man, "Any word of you getting saved?" Kim Soo says, "What are you talking about, mister? Sure, you're not saved." He says, "I'm saved, father." He says, "You never told me." He says, "See, you never asked me." And in that short time, the whole family, with him being restored, have trusted the Lord Jesus and are saved by grace. So we're thankful for recovery. But another great evidence, and we're so thankful to God for this, because of the restoration of Kim Soo. Now, I should have said his brother Kim Hong lives almost beside me in Ballymena. And Kim Hong has been in Ballymena for many years, and so we're linked very closely. And Kim Hong has been, Fong Kim Hong, just can't believe that his brother is now back in such cordial fellowship for God, and been a real help to him, because many a time when he went back home, he was very much isolated as far as the family was concerned, because of no interest in the work or in the salvation or in the gospel. But it's changed. Well, now, one of our most gifted brethren that we ever had left us about 10 years ago. We prayed for him. We thought of him. But here, a short time ago, he appeared. I had him in my house for coffee, a long chat, fully satisfied he's recovered. Well, the great point is, Brother Kong Lam is now in fellowship in the new meeting in USJ 4 because he was already in fellowship in the meeting at Paramount. And he was commended by the brethren with all the rest to the new meeting in USJ 4. Now, I have to say this, and you understand what I'm saying. Of all the brethren that we have ever seen and knew in the work in Malaysia, our brother Kong Lam is the most gifted. And nothing would give me greater joy to have him here tonight. And when he would be finished his ministry, you would know what I meant and what I've said. So we're thankful to God for what God has done in relation to this dear brother. And he's serving God, helping the meeting. He is now responsible for the Bible reading in USJ 4 and the Sunday school Bible class. And he's doing a mighty work for God at this moment of time. Now, added to that was a brother called Alfred Tan, and he's restored back in. And now they're after another brother whom I heard about two days ago, Brother James Lim, and he is anxious to be received in the new meeting in USJ 4. So God is not only saving souls, beloved, but what we're rejoicing in is this. Brethren that somehow got away from God and away from the things of God are being truly restored. And so we have Kim Su, Alfred Tan, Kong Lam, and now James Lim and his wife are likely to be received very shortly in the new meeting in USJ 4. So if you know of some in this locality or wherever you are that have left the assembly and the fellowship, keep praying. God is able to restore according to his word. And how wonderful it is to see these great men of God restored and back into full fellowship with us, serving the Lord with all their hearts. So now that's Paramount and USJ 4. Now we have another outreach in the area over to another direction called Puchong Utama. Puchong Utama. And that work has been on for the last few years. But in the last year, with Kim Su and our dear brother John C. Now John C. is, I'm going to tell you about him too. He was sent to Plymouth to a college there by the government several years ago. And in the same class where he was being taught, there was a dear young man from Malacca Assembly and found out that John was a Christian. So he invited John to come to the assembly not in Plymouth, but outside Plymouth. And John wouldn't even think of it. And they both had a very sad argument. And that was it. But you know, God is able, beloved. And John began to think about what this young man was concerned about. And one day he called him and said, "I think I will go with you." And John went to Salt Ash meeting for the first time to be in an assembly meeting. And he'll tell you if he was standing here, and I hope someday he will. He said, "Brother, as I sat there, and as that meeting continued, God assured me this was the place that I was to be in." And John came into the fellowship in Salt Ash, Plymouth, and then brought two young women from Sarawak, and they came into fellowship. And a couple of years after that, of course, he got his degrees, came back to Malaysia, and I had the privilege of marrying him to one of these girls from Sarawak. Then John and his wife went back to Sarawak, and not only did he work in the school, but he worked for God. He worked so hard, he saw so many saved. Now, schools, of course, are controlled by the Malaysian government, for the most part. And eventually they discovered that John was too active in the Christian sense. So they forbade him to bring his Bible ever again into the school. Well, that brought a lot of pressure on John, and he had to leave. But he came back to Malaysia, West Malaysia, to Kuala Lumpur, and to us in Paramount. And he's now fully commended in the work of God. And we're thankful to God for dear brother John. He's a most gifted young man, is doing really wonderfully well in his progress. And he, with others, are establishing this new work in Puchong, Utama. Now, this is not an easy work at all, but we're thankful for what God has done. And we have there, the order of the meetings are these. Our meeting in Paramount is from 9 to 10:30 on this Lord's Day morning. Then we go to Puchong Utama at 11:30. And from 11:30 to 11:45, we have courses with the children for the Sunday school. Then we have a Bible class from 11:45 to 12:30. Then we have 30 minutes in the gospel with children and elder people that come. And then all are offered lunch. Then we have a meeting on Wednesday night, a Bible reading on Wednesday night, prayer and Bible reading on Wednesday night. And the work there is progressing under the help of God with our brother John, brother Kim Soo, and others doing a mighty work. And they've transformed the place that they've rented into a beautiful hall, and I'll be able to show you some photographs of it later on. So I want you to pray now for the work in Puchong, because we're hoping eventually, and we're not looking far ahead, but we are looking earnestly to God that soon we will have an assembly in Puchong. Now, that covers the work in that area. When we come further south with Malacca, then when we go west, we have Klang or Kota Kemuning. And there again, the work in these two places is progressing very, very encouragingly. Malacca have seen a new work further south, at which a brother John, another brother called John, is helping in the work in that area. So there are two assemblies now in the Malacca state, and we're thankful to God for that increase. And then there's the work that I'm speaking about in Kota Kemuning. The saddest thing that I have to tell you is this. On the 2nd of August, I buried one of our greatest brethren. I can't bury Brother Brennan, because at this moment of time, I just cannot understand why God took from us one of our most able, committed, convicted brethren. King Hong, I saw him saved as a young man in the early 60s. The time came when I married him, and then on he went for God. I would say, in terms of leadership, in terms of eldership, there would be no one could really match the wisdom and the work of King Hong. He designed an incinerator, and I'm not going to give you the details because it would occupy my time, but the day he was buried, his son Gideon told me, the government ordered 3 incinerators, which runs into literal millions. He's a very clever brother. And I could describe this incinerator for you, but it's not really important. But unfortunately, Brother King Hong did not put on a mask when that was working. And a year and a half ago, he had his right lung removed. And of course, you know the result. And on the Monday, we went hurriedly, about 10:30, to see him. And I knew it was only a matter of time. And I was the last to pray with him. And in less than 40 minutes after I prayed, King Hong was in heaven. Remember his dear wife. Remember his family. He has a daughter now living in Boston, married to a very nice brother there. And he had, of course, two sons, Gideon and another one, and they're both very helpful brethren indeed. But the loss is something I cannot overcome, because he's one of the most dependable brethren ever we knew. But this is what God has done. Now, in spite of the fact that we have been alone as far as the work is concerned, you will understand how God can encourage. And in recent years, there have been three companies gathered out from assemblies. And the first thing they do, now we didn't even know them. Well, I know their area, but we didn't know the people. The first thing they did was, in each case, they came to our conference. And the brethren said, we'd like to speak to you. And our brethren met them, and we met them, and we found that they were exercised in their coming from assemblies that were once going according to the word of God. And in Ipoh, there's a new assembly formed, and I go there as often as possible. I'll come to us in a minute. Now, don't smile, and don't think because I'm an Irishman I've got mixed up. But when I go to Ipoh on a Friday night until a Sunday afternoon, I have a week's meetings. How could you have a week's meetings? Well, I'm going to tell you. On Friday, we start at 8 o'clock to 9:30. Saturday morning, 9 o'clock to 10:30. Then we have coffee. Then 11 o'clock to 12:30. Then they take me for lunch. Another meeting from 2 to 3:30. Let me go home for a rest. Then I have a gospel meeting from 8 to 9. Sunday morning, the morning meeting, 8:30 to 9:45. And I finish the ministry from 9:45 to a quarter past 11. So that's five ministry meetings, one gospel meeting, and a morning meeting at the weekend. So, brother, if you come, you have plenty of work to do there, boy. Don't forget that, David. Right? And the work is going on in Ipoh tremendously. Pray for this new development, showing that God is able to exercise the hearts of others that have been drawn out by the testimony of God. Not anything to do with us now, come on. But as soon as they feel it's time, and it was over 5 years before that company, after a long exercise, gathered and then came to our conference. We didn't know them, so we'd like to speak to your brethren, so surely. And they're with us. Singapore, what a place is Singapore. But there's a place called AMK with about 700 in fellowship. And in the last few years, there's been a gathering out from AMK, as we call it. And in due chat, a new assembly has been formed with over 60 in fellowship. And again, they came to our conference, sent representatives. And the story is, one of these young men, Frankie Cha, came to America on business. And in the course of his work in America, he met the brethren. Brethren, you all know, Frank Tornicum, DC, and others. And they spoke to him, asked him where he was, what was happening. And then Frank told him, and others, of course, and I'm not going to mention their names, but you know them all. They told them about our work. And it resulted in the number gathering out. And at the same time, in Bethesda, Katong, there was a Chinese speaking brother, a professor, had exercise. And he gathered out, and you never saw a place like it that he was able to build. A four accommodating building, downstairs, and then three stages up. A beautiful building, Ju Chat. And he gathered out with all the Mandarin speakers, speaking Mandarin, that wanted. And this gave the opportunity for these saints from AMK to meet in English. And that whole building there has two assemblies, one in the lower part speaking Mandarin, and the other in the other part speaking English. And we had nothing to do with it, but they contacted us, and we have very cordial fellowship with them to this moment. So now, you can understand, brethren, that after all that we experienced, I'm not going to repeat in those years what God is doing. That's not it finished. The next company is gathered out in Kuantan on the east coast of Malaysia. And the assembly there, if that's what you would call it, wouldn't even commend people that wanted to come to our meeting. They wouldn't even give them a letter. They wouldn't have any fellowship with us whatsoever. But the time came, I understand, when they felt it was time to gather out. And at this moment of time, there's a new assembly meeting in Kuantan. What has it happened? Well, the brother who is now the correspondent of the new meeting in New SJ4 came originally from Kuantan. So he has certainly moved a good bit. And pray for Brother Hing, won't you? And his wife and family, two lovely boys, and others. Now, this is something that has got nothing to do with what we have done. We look to God, and God is able to do it without us altogether, but when they do come, we give them all the fellowship and all the welcome we possibly can. So in recent times, three companies have gathered out, one from Ipoh, one from Kuantan, run from Singapore, and they feel encouraged by being with us in the work of God. Now, I trust that will help you to pray. And may God bless you all. We thank you for your attention. And do remember the work that we represent. I'm not any younger than what I was before, as you know. I'm with 50 years already in the country. It would seem to me that I'm the only missionary left. There was a brother from Scotland who was commended about a year after I reached the country in 57. He came in 58, and he passed away at the earlier part of this year. So as far as I know, God has preserved us to this moment. I have full recognition, I have permanent residence, no problem at all as far as the government is concerned. So we're thankful to God for what he can do and what he has done, because apart from this brother, now I know what he did. I'm not going to tell you what he did, but really, I was the last missionary in 1957, the last missionary to be given permanent residence. Others that have come were not given it. So if I have any cause for thanksgiving, nothing else but that, that is certainly a real cause for thanksgiving. That over these years, I go out and in without any difficulty whatsoever, having permanent residence, where very few, if any, have been granted since then. Because once the Muslim power took over, they refused the entrance of people like ourselves. Now we're thankful to God, and we're going to pray.